So we were just in one of the five forests on this side of the river. That was Bandirvan. Now this forest has three names. One is Belvan, which is the most famous name. But Bel is Hindi. Sanskrit is known as Bilvavan. Bel is Hindi and Bilva is Sanskrit. And third name is Srivan. And it's called Srivan, as you see. Sri or Lakshmi is sitting there. Because in this forest, this is where Lakshmiji is performing penances and austerities to be able to enter into the Rasa Leela. On the other side of the river, you saw the beautiful Vrindavan skyline when you were walking in? This is view. If you go by the, if you didn't see, you can go by this yellow wall there and look over. You see beautiful skyline, not like New York or Chicago. You see beautiful skyline of Vrindavan. In old days, all we saw was temple towers. Now we see mobile towers. So anyway, so just across the river is Vrindavan, where Ras Leela takes place. Because actually the forest of Vrindavan stretches from that town that is now called Vrindavan, 24 miles all the way up to Nandagam. That is the forest. Prabhupada explains in a purport of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as Krishna book. Because that was, now, of course, it's all farmland, but that time it was forest. So it stretches from the town that is known as Vrindavan all the way up to Nandagam. Prabhupada explains that in a purport in the first canto, and also in Krishna book he explains this. So that includes also Barsana and Govardhan. They're all in the forest of Vrindavan. But that town of Vrindavan became famous because that is where the most famous Leela of Krishna took place, Rasa Leela. It took place there in that town that is now known as Vrindavan. So that is why that forest became most famous, or that town became famous as Vrindavan, because that's where the Rasa Leela took place. So Lakshmiji, she wanted to take part in that Rasa Leela. So she's here performing penances and austerities to enter into that Rasa Leela. But we know, we sing every day, Tulsi Puja, that we just want to become follower of the cowherd damsels of Braj. Because unless you become a follower of the cowherd damsels of Braj, you cannot enter to Vrindavan. Just like one time, since we have so many Shrutis here, we'll tell a nice story about the Shrutis. I know two. Where's the other two? This two is here. Where's the other two Shrutis? Somebody told me there's four. No? Nobody wants to identify themselves. Huh? All right. Anyway, the Shrutis personified, they were glorifying Krishna very sweetly. So then he asked them, what is it that you desire? He said, we desire to see where it is that you live. We want to see the place where you live. So then Krishna took all of the Shrutis way up beyond this material world, beyond all the Vaikuntha planets, all the way up to the Golok Vrindavan. Beyond even the Vaikuntha Golok Vrindavan. And there they saw Radha and Krishna and all the cowherd girls dancing with Sri Krishna. And those Shrutis, they prayed that we want to become followers of these cowherd damsels of Braj. So by that prayer, they became the Shruti Chari Gopis. Like you may have heard that in the Rasa Leela, there was many different categories of gopis. So these were the Shruti Chari gopis. Just like there's also the Rishi Chari gopis. Who were they? Can you guess? Yes, those sages who were meditating in the forest when they saw Lord Ram, they were all worshippers of Gopal. As soon as they saw this beautiful, handsome young prince enter to their forest, they all desired to have conjugal relation with him. But he said, not this avatar. This is Ekapatni Vrat. It's the next avatar. So they all took birth as the Rishi Chari gopis. So all those who become followers of the cowherd damsels of Braj, they can enter into Vrindavan. But Lakshmiji, she has this abhiman that I am the wife of Vaikunthapati. So because of that abhiman, this pride, then how the wife of Vaikunthapati is going to become follower of a cowherd damsel? So we see she's still sitting here waiting. She's not been allowed entrance into Vrindavan. And you see next to her sitting is Krishna. Because Krishna heard that Lakshmiji has come and she's forming austerities. So he came over here. He also saw that abhiman, so he became very small. You see, he's very small, huh? Little Kaneya. He said, you're big, big Lakshmi, I'm just little Kaneya. Then he began to cry. Now give me something to eat. Oh, we were just in the jungle, what is she going to do? From the villager, she got some rice and dal and she made khichdi. Just like we're serving you everyday khichdi. So she made khichdi. So starting after this next Purnima, what is that next month called? Now Kartik finished, then this month is, what is it called this month? Next one is Margashirsh, or Margashirsh is going now. Next one, this is Ashwin. Posh, next is Posh, this is Margashirsh, then Posh. Ah, that's right, Posh, my name. In the next month, Posh month, because nobody knows exactly which day that it happened that Krishna came here. They only know that it happened on a Thursday. And they know that it happened in Posh Mahina, in Posh month. So every Thursday here in this little forest, there's a huge Khichdi Mela. All the Brijbasis come here to give their association to Lakshmiji. And there's hundreds of people distributing khichdi to thousands of people. You saw that road that you walked down. You imagine the traffic jam. 30,000 people try to come here next month every Thursday. Just try to imagine. It is hopeless. I came here by car one time. We just left the car and walked. I don't know how he finally got. They made a big parking lot just outside the last village. They made a big parking lot and charged everybody 10 rupees to park there, and they let them. Somehow our car got there, I don't know. I don't even remember how we got out. It was a horrible mess. But anyway, so there's big Khichdi Mela here. You can imagine, just sitting here in this forest, and everybody's giving out khichdi. Oh, so many devotees come and distribute khichdi to everybody, and everybody comes and takes khichdi. And at least 20, 30,000 villagers and others will come here every Thursday next month to this place, Belvan, so that all the Brijvasis come and give their association to Lakshmiji. So they don't know which Thursday, so every Thursday they do this Khichdi Mela next month. And of course, Bel, of course, we know means a special type of fruit. Krishna and Balaram used to play with them as balls. If you go for Gaur Purnima festival in Mayapur, then every day they will give you bale juice in the breakfast, isn't it? But here, does anybody see a bale tree? But do you see any here? You're sitting right around one right here. This is a little baby bell tree. This white one. The front one. You see, it's got every stem has got three leaves. Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. See, in each little stem, three little leaves. Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. Bel Pata. Those who worship Lord Shiva, they know. Huh? Yeah, somebody shaking the tree. Like Dvidvita Gorilla, huh? Now behind me, this is the sitting place of Ballabhacharya. One second, no, we'll get to it. Now, next door they made a kitchen. Out of the roof of the kitchen, you see there's another bale tree growing. You see, coming right out of the roof of the kitchen. And I think Dhanashri wants to point out where the bale fruits are. We found at least four. That's what you wanted to tell us, huh? You saw three, I've seen four. So I won. So later you can circumambulate the temple and come around back here, and you have to stand in different places and you can see there's two growing together, then there's another one way in a top branch, and then there's another one. You can find four if you look closely. Bale fruits are here. But anyway, there used to be so many bale trees here, so this used to be known, or not, still is known as Balevan, but there used to be so many bale trees here. Now, most of them are gone. Now you see these big, huge, tall trees here. These are called papri. They have, in the beginning of spring and early summer, they get little round, little wafer-like things with a little round nut inside. They come a little, you know, brown paper package, you know. And the Gurukul boys, they like to pop open the package and then eat the little nut inside. So anyway, the villagers call this tree. There's two of them, great big huge ones. And of course, behind us, we were talking about the peepal tree. So here we have a huge, old, ancient peepal tree. With this leaf just shaped like a little heart and coming down to a little punch, little tail. So just behind us, you can see here also, at the foot of this peepal tree, then Lakshmiji's footprints are there. You can take darshan of Lakshmi's charan, lotus feet, just underneath this little shrine here. And then right over here is growing is a little baby kadamba tree. This one with all the silver right here in the middle. Machaji's running away. That one, that's a little baby kadamba tree growing there. So anyway, this is a very, very sweet place. You hear all the Brindadevi's parrots are laughing. They're amazed, you know. So all these funny people have come here, speaking all these funny languages. They're not speaking Hindi. They're not looking like Brijbhashis. They're all funny looking. So they're all laughing. So, now that I've explained what is this place, Maharaj will give you some more insight into the pastime here. Hare Krishna.
Is found in the scripture, the Leela of Lakshmi becoming attracted to the rasa dance of Krishna. It's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I'll outline that description in Chaitanya Charitamrita. after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the sannyas order, his intention was to go to Vrindavan. If you remember, when we were at Gokulananda temple, we heard about Lokanath, who was a very dear associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lokanath Goswami was asked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "I intend to take sannyas, don't tell anybody, but I'd like you to go to Vrindavan and make arrangements so that when I go to Vrindavan, we can be together." So Lokanath Goswami left Navadvip to go to Vrindavan to arrange for Mahaprabhu to have a nice place when he got there. But Lord Chaitanya didn't go to Vrindavan because Mother Sachi requested him instead to go to Jagannath Puri. So he went to Jagannath Puri so that she could receive news of her son, her only remaining family member. And after staying some months in Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, under the guise of going to find his brother, Vishwarup, who had previous to him taken sannyas, but there was no news of Vishwarup. He wanted to find his brother somewhere in South India, so he went on a South Indian tour. And many things happened in the course of that South Indian tour. But one of them was a visit to Sri Rangam. And probably everybody here, almost everybody here, knows of Sri Rangam. Very, very famous temple. The abode of Lord Ranganath, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's riding on the waves of the ocean, Garbhadak Ocean. Ranga means waves, like, yeah, Rangani, Ranganath. So Garbhadakshai Vishnu, riding, who is resting on Anantashesh on the Garbhadak Ocean, from his navel comes Lord Brahma, the lotus flower, and from him, the lotus flower, Lord Brahma. So, Ranganath is the presiding deity at Sri Rangam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not on an ordinary platform of Krishna consciousness. He was on the topmost, spontaneous platform of Krishna consciousness. So when he saw Lord Ranganath, he erupted in ecstatic devotion and love of Godhead. When we take darshan of deities, we're offering prayers and our respects and praying for the mercy of that deity and offering some service, and it's on a regulative platform, hopefully, at least that. Vidhi, sadhana, bhakti. That's our platform. Mahaprabhu was beyond that platform of vidhi, sadhana, bhakti. Next above that stage is bhava, bhakti. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was above the stage of bhava, bhakti. He was on the platform of prema, bhakti. Naturally. So when he saw Lord Ranganath, he began dancing and chanting in ecstatic love of Godhead. Now, I've had the experience of politely South Indian people, when they visit our temples and you ask them, "This is your first time?" "Oh, yes, this is my first time." "Well, how did you like it?" every now and then you get an honest answer. Well, I the deity worship is fantastic, but the dancing and jumping and what's that all about? Those of you from South India, you can relate what I'm saying. They had what to speak of, ecstatic love of Godhead, and not for, you know, 3 minutes, or half hour, or an hour, hours. And it wasn't an exhibition. It was out of spontaneous, ecstatic devotion. He was uncontrollably. He described this to his spiritual master, Ishwara Puri. When Mahaprabhu received the chanting of the Maha Mantra from Ishwara Puri, his whole life completely changed. Later he came back and said, Ishwara Puri, I think I'm doing something wrong. Because when I start chanting, something happens. I start jumping in the air and crying and dancing and please tell me what I'm doing wrong. And he said, oh, my dear son, this is most wonderful. And he quoted a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam which describes one who is on the topmost platform. It's not, you know, we may feel some happiness and dance and kirtan. That's nice. But it's uncontrollable. Like, you know, I don't know what you can compare it to. Something that just springs from the heart. Anyway, he was dancing and dancing and dancing in ecstatic love of Godhead in front of the deity of Ranganath. For hours. At some point, Vallabha Bhatta, chief priest of the whole of Srirangam, entered into the temple and saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Mahaprabhu regained his composure, Venkata Bhatta invited him to come to his home, as is a tradition. Venkata Bhatta was a householder, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi. Please come to my home so I can offer you alms, offer you something to eat, and kind reception. So Mahaprabhu accepted. At this time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was 25 years old. Beautiful in feature, very, very tall stature, golden complexion, beautiful eyes, shaven head as a sannyasi wearing saffron robe, and Mahaprabhu was received in Venkata Bhatta's home. He washed his feet, drank the water that washed his feet, and sprinkled the water upon the heads of his family members, and offered him nice prasad. And immediately, these two wonderful personalities, Venkata Bhatta and Mahaprabhu, became so attracted to one another because of their elevated consciousness. But Venkata Bhatta requested, it's traditional for those who are sannyasis on pilgrimage during the 4 months of the rainy season to not travel during that rainy season but to stay in one place. My humble request is kindly accept my invitation. Stay at my home. We can discuss scriptural topics together to our heart's content. Please honor me with this, fulfilling this request. And Mahaprabhu accepted. So we heard in the life of Gopal Bhatta, he was just 6 years old. Where's Prahlad Nrisimha? 6 years old. There he is. Here he comes. How old are you, Prahlad? 6 years old. Just like Gopal Bhatta. Goswami. maybe one day. Control those senses, Prahlad. So while we heard of Gopal Bhatta's service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a six-year-old boy, but the exchange with his father, we also heard about Prabodhananda Saraswati, whose samadhi is just behind the Kaliagat, remember? We didn't go there because it's very narrow and so on. But Prabodhananda Saraswati is the uncle of Gopal Bhatta, or the brother of Venkata Bhatta. And Venkata Bhatta and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every day would have discussions on scriptural topics for hours. And one can only imagine how deep and meaningful and transcendental were those discussions. Actually, we touched on this at Radhadamodar Temple, but the scriptural topics are meant to be heard and discussed in a deep manner with those who are very serious and dedicated to Krishna consciousness or to pursuing their evolving of their spiritual life, as the Goswamis did on a regular basis. So also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Venkata Bhatta did the same. So one time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked a question. And the question was, "You are a very learned priest in your tradition. I'm hoping you can answer a question I have. What is that? You're a worshiper of Narayan." "Yes, worshiper of Narayan. This is our Ishtadev." And completely chaste to Lord Narayan is the goddess Lakshmi. So you worship Lakshmi Narayan, who is perfectly chaste to Lord Narayan. You never find her anywhere but at Lord Narayan's feet. Isn't it so? "Oh yes, it is so." "Then can you describe, can you explain why this most chaste Lakshmi left the lotus feet of Narayan and wanted to enter into the rasa dance of Krishna?" And Venkata Bhatta said, "There's no difficulty. Narayan and Krishna, they're the same. There's no infidelity or lack of chastity on the part of the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, to want to associate with Krishna. It's perfectly chaste. What is the difficulty?" Mahaprabhu said, what you said is correct. But if there's no difference between Narayan and Krishna, why was it the goddess of fortune underwent austerities? The goddess of fortune, for whom many people undergo austerities to get benedictions from her, she underwent austerities to enter into the rasa dance of Krishna. And she wasn't allowed to enter into the rasa dance of Krishna. Can you explain? Venkata Bhatta said, "I can't explain. But I think you can explain. For you're not only learned, but I can understand that you are the personality of Godhead. So surely you must know." Mahaprabhu smiled and said, just as Dinabandhu Prabhu has said, "As long as one does not gain the favor of the residents of Braja, one cannot enter into Braja. As long as one does not get the favor of the cowherd damsels of Braja, one cannot enter into the rasa dance. It remains perhaps attractive, but not accessible. Even if you're the goddess of fortune, who can have greater qualification than the goddess of fortune? Confirm. They were saluting that one. That was a good one. Who can have equal qualification with the goddess of fortune in devotion to the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead? No one can have equal devotion. But even she cannot enter. Even with austerities, even for hundreds and thousands, and even till today, cannot enter. And that means the pastimes of Krishna in Braj are very, very special. Very, very special. So special that most people don't understand them. Most people look upon them as ordinary. Scholars look upon them in a critical way. Impersonalists dismiss them as illusion. And even theists cannot enter without the mercy of the residents of Braja. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore taught our position should be Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Anu Dasa. We should aspire to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, so many times removed, servant of the intimate servants of Srimati Radharani, the gopis, who are intimately serving Krishna under Adha's direction, like these nice parrots serving Srimati Radharani. That explanation that I just gave is good for you to read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and from time to time, as followers of Lord Chaitanya, you may be asked, in one fashion or another, why emphasis on worship of Krishna? There's emphasis of worship upon Krishna. And why is it that we accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Why do we not accept Narayan as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? There are many who do accept Narayan as the Personality of Godhead. So at the end of that, there's that explanation I just gave you is why. When all of that discussion was over, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kind of smoothed everything over and said, but anyway, these are details, and Narayan and Krishna are the same, and everything's very nice. So our interest is not bashing or being combative against those who don't worship Krishna, and they may worship the Sringadev, or they may worship Narayan, or they may worship somebody other than Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Venkatapata had no such mood of exchange. It was only after extended association with one another, Mahaprabhu even presented this. And he presented it as a question. And because Venkatapata felt complete comfort and trust and confidence in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he presented. So, I'm cautioning, don't take this like a club and go and club others. But it's for our understanding of why the worship of Krishna is so elevated. There's pure devotion and there's pure devotion. Rupa Goswami uses this language. Perfect, more perfect than most perfect. So the position of those who are worshiping Narayan in pure devotion. That's perfect. And then there's more perfect and most perfect. And the superlative of perfect is the worship of the gopis as they exhibited spontaneous, just like Mahaprabhu exhibited, spontaneous love for Narayan. When he saw, just like when he saw Lord Jagannath, we understand from the biographers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw Krishna. And he ran. Krishna! Running full speed to embrace the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead Krishna. Lord Nityananda did the same thing that's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Because after Mahaprabhu was taken to the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in the temple of Jagannath in Puri, later the next group that came was Lord Nityananda and the rest of the entourage who Lord Chaitanya had separated from. And Lord Nityananda did the same thing. He ran towards the altar. And he was checked. Who can check Lord Nityananda? They were exhibiting spontaneous love of God. And that spontaneous, just like in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Gopakumar, he was trained up by the residents of Vaikuntha. You want to meet Madan Gopal. We want to take you to Lord Narayan. Here's what you do. Come forward, very calm. Fold your palms like this. Address the Supreme Lord with great dignity and honor. Oh, my Lord, you are so kind. You have brought me in your presence. Thank you so... Like this, speak like this. When Gopakumar saw Lord Narayan seated on the throne, he ran at full speed. Madan Gopal! And everyone was saying, you know, stop that. Stop this little Gopakumar. He's disrupting everything. This isn't appropriate for Vaikuntha. And Lord Narayan was so moved, he got off his throne and came running to Gopakumar. And he fell at the ground before he got there. Collapsed unconscious before Lord Narayan. Lord Narayan picked him up like a little son and held him. The mood of Vaikuntha is the mood of awed reverence. When the mood of awed reverence is there, how can one enter into the rasa dance? Because the rasa dance is in a mood of awed reverence. But this is, it's the same Supreme Lord. Therefore, Mahaprabhu's teaching, or the teaching that were given through Rupa Goswami, Sarvopadiva Nirmuktam, Tat Paratvena Nirmalam, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam, Bhakti Ruchate. Dinabandhu was using the word Abhiman. So this is similar, Upadi. With some Upadi, it's a designation of thinking of yourself in a certain role or designation. But what's our, whatever designation we may have, other than this Jivera Swarupoi Nityara Krishna Das, or Gopi Bhartur Kamalayor. This is, these teachings that Mahaprabhu gave, we've heard them over and over again. These leelas help us understand more deeply what the meaning is. If one thinks, if Lakshmiji thinks, I am the husband of the goddess of fortune, and I reside at the Lord's lotus feet, and I massage his feet, he is my master, and I am his... So, that certainly all of it is true. But the mood in Braja is a different mood. The mood of, in Braja is... spontaneous. And to actually enter into the spontaneous mood requires mercy. It doesn't just require practice. It requires mercy. So we have our practice. When we come before the deity, the training that Srila Prabhupada gave us is that we worship in awe and reverence. When we worship in our temples, Radha and Krishna, we don't worship in that mood of intimacy of Vraja, we worship in the mood of opulence. Our deity worship should be very opulent, like the Lord of Vaikuntha. And that's how our vidhis of sadhana bhakti should be performed. But Rupa Goswami teaches, through that approach, gradually, purification. And through that purification, gradually, some attraction for the type of love that's found in Vrindavan. And then a sadhana for following those who are perfected souls and the service of Krishna in Vrindavan. And gradually that perfected stage of love becomes a spontaneous stage. One becomes then beyond the regulative standards of sadhana bhakti. But this requires not just practice and purification, it requires mercy. It's a simple thing, but it's also a deep mystery for those that cannot be sufficiently humble to beg for the mercy of the residents of Braja and the perfected souls who are their associates. So we come to Vrindavan as beggars or humble petitioners for the mercy of the residents of Vrindavan. And that's one of the main reasons for our coming to Vrindavan. Making that heartfelt appeal, eager to receive their mercy. So we have in our midst one official bridge bossy, Dinabandhuji. So we can all pray for his mercy, that we can enter into those stages of devotion through his association.